But they, measuring themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise.
Welcome to School Improvement with ACCS, a series of discussions with headmasters from ACCS-accredited schools.
This is Tom Spencer, the Director of Accreditation for the Association of Classical and Christian Schools, and today we are joined by Emery Latta, who is the head of school at Providence Christian School in Dothan, Alabama. Thank you for being with us today, Emery.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Why don't we go ahead and have you first talk to us about the history of Providence Christian School in Dothan, Alabama. Providence, in fact, is a charter member of the Association of Classical and Christian Schools. Tell us about the vision for the founding.
Sure. So there were a number of us. I was a parent and a member of First Presbyterian Church, and there were we had a large number of young families at that time. And we had a successful preschool program for 20 plus years. Our children were all, many of us that were in that Sunday school group were young parents and had our children in the preschool and longed for the possibility that we would consider continuing that beyond the preschool. And for a year or so, had asked the pastor, and there were actually three ladies who were praying weekly that the church would consider having an elementary school. And actually one of those women, his husband was on the session, and two other couples also went to the Ligonier Conference in March of 1994 and thought they were going to a talk on Sunday school and at the Ligonier Conference. And it was actually Doug Wilson making the presentation of Logos and the classical Christian school movement. And those three couples came back to Dothan on fire that they now had a reason to start a grammar school in addition or to continue the preschool experience that many of us had had. So that launched March, that was March of 1994. The session approved a committee that would kind of lay the groundwork and look into the possibilities. That group eventually became the school board. And in August of 1995, we started Providence Christian School, and I was the principal that year. And we started with 56 children, grades 1 through 6. And the fourth and fifth grade was a combo, and there were six sixth graders and a full first, a full second, and a full third grade class of 20 or fewer, but right at 20 in each of those classes.
That's a really good sized group to start with. Your enrollment today has increased quite a bit. You now have, I think, more than 700 students. Is that correct?
We're at 650. We've been over 700. We've retracted a little bit the last 5 or 6 years, but we're right now today, we're 650 students, first grade through the 12th grade. And there's 195 students in the kindergarten program that is over still at the original site of the preschool at the church.
Providence Christian School has been blessed with a wonderful location, a lot of property, made good use of that with a great facility. God really provided in a unique way, I think, for the land for the school. Would you tell us about that, how that happened?
Yeah, so the name Providence came, you know, originally even before the land landed in our laps, but just because the way things just started coming together providentially, and land is part of that as well. So we were looking at like a storefront or perhaps a warehouse type building that was no longer being used that would need some renovation or whatever. And the church had made the determination already that they did not want to try to put the school there on the property of the church. They felt pretty landlocked where we were. So from the beginning, the mission was that the school to go was going to have to find its own property. And so providentially, one of the members on the school board also was on a newly formed board called the Meadowwood Board, which this property had been the Girl Scout campsite, and it's about 43 acres. And in 1962, there had been built a Girl Scout camp house, and it was still here. But the Girl Scouts, when they pulled back the operation to Montgomery, tried to sell the property, not knowing they didn't own it. And so the lease then went back to the original owner, who was a millionaire here in town, who had given it to the Girl Scouts to use, to lease it to the Girl Scouts to use. And so he asked one of his employees, who he knew was a believer, and her husband to oversee a committee to use to at least oversee the use of the property. And he wanted it used for youth work, Christian youth work. And so one of our board members was also asked a few months before that to be a board member with the Meadowood board. And so one meeting, he just, what if the school were to use the front part of this property? So for $1 a year, the front 13 acres were leased to Providence Christian School to use for our school.
That is a wonderful story of God's provision and his faithfulness to the school. You have been at the school for how long, since the beginning?
Well, I was here for the first 2 years. I left and actually went back into coaching, and I did that for 5 years. It's a lot of different circumstances. It was not a bad situation, the reason that I left. It just was a personal thing that had gone on, and it just needed to step back, and so I did. And they granted me release to do that. And then 5 years later, I came back. The gentleman who took my place was still here as the head of school. And so they rehired me as the high school principal and coach of a couple of things. And then not quite 2 years later, he got sick and had to step down, and they asked me to take it. So I've been doing this now in this role as head of school since 2005.
What was your academic background? How did you end up originally at a classical Christian school?
Great question. Well, I was a teacher coach. I grew up here in town, grew up in the church for the most part, from at least from my high school years on, was connected in the church. And then as a family, our family was involved at First Press. I knew all of the people very well that started the school. And so my background was teaching, coaching. And I read the book, Recovering the Lost Tools of Learning, because my two younger children were going to go to school here. And I was greatly convicted. I like many other people, I'm sure, who've read the book, especially in those early years, saw that somebody else had thought those same thoughts and saw the errors in education and the direction that it was going, and wanted to be a part of it. And so I came to the first info meeting as a daddy. And then they didn't have a head of school, and so they invited me to go to dinner one day. The head of the board and the pastor, and they asked me if I would consider being the principal. And a few weeks later, I agreed to do that. And I didn't see that on the radar, but and that's really how I got started. Now, I had some years. My first 3 years, I was an elementary school teacher, I never really understood why. I didn't really care to do that. I wasn't excited about being an elementary PE teacher, but a little later, I realized that the Lord was using that to prepare me to know a lot more about elementary school, being in a school for 3 years. Even though it was a public school, but just knowing how people think and, you know, how the school functions especially from a organizational standpoint. And so that helped me a lot at the beginning. But and then our board was very heavily involved in those first 2 years with me. I could not have made it without them, because, you know, a startup school is anything but governance oriented. Usually. And I think that's normal. I think that's healthy. And then, you know, maybe the transition a little later, once you get staff to do things, they can back out and step away. And from most of the schools I've talked to, that's kind of what has happened. There's a lot of similar stories.
That is a really common pattern, it seems. What was the hope at the beginning in how Providence Christian School, I believe the region that you're in is called the Wiregrass area?
That's right.
What kind of impact was the school hoping to have upon folks in that area?
Well, I think, you know, the thought we had as parents was just a continuation of the joy, the atmosphere that we saw at our preschool, and then that it was a strong academic school. And that was nice. That's, you know, the thought that we would do a Christian school, but there were already two other Christian schools in town. And I think what the Ligonier Conference did and the resolve that came back from that, from those three families, was this was a distinctive education, the education that none of us ever were able to get. And this is not, you know, and I'm not making light of a Christian school at all, but it's not just a Christian education, but this is an opportunity to shape and mold people for eternity, not only from a Christian standpoint, but also from the virtue and, you know, what the Trivium offers and the training of wisdom. And so this was bigger. And I think a lot of young families caught that vision, and, you know, nothing like this exists. Still nothing exists in the Wiregrass area. We have some students who come from 30 miles away, several. And so it just opened the opportunity for people who catch the vision for that. It's something that is unique. And so I think we still market that way and talk about that with families.
One of the founding board members, I believe, at Provident Christian School, Clay Howe, was a good friend of the previous executive director, Patch Blakey, with the Association of Classical and Christian Schools.
Right.
And at first, in the life of the school, I believe Providence sought and obtained school accreditation with the Association of Christian Schools International. Is that correct?
That is, yes.
What were the benefits of going through the process with ACSI and the benefits to being recognized as ACSI accredited?
I think, you know, what we found pretty quickly when the school was established was credibility question. With a number of families, especially people who had aspirations of their children going to college and being offered scholarships and some other things. And the lack of accreditation was often a stopping point for a number of families. And, you know, they would consider, of course, a brand new school anyway. And looking back now, I can understand it, that it hadn't really established a reputation. But what started happening was it became pretty obvious that we were missing out on some people that really, for every other reason, should have been here and had, you know, if we were accredited, then that would offer that. And so at the time, ACCS was not accrediting schools, and ACSI was, and they also offered an opportunity for a dual accreditation, where if you were accredited with them, you could do the SACS accreditation too, which was a big thing because that's what most of the schools, you know, here were, Southern Association of Colleges and Schools accredited as well. So it kind of was a win-win. You get the credibility aspect, and you're with a Christian organization with the, you know, the firepower of a lot of different schools in worldwide, really, that were accredited. So you get, you know, that recognition, but also then accountability. So that was the reason.
So then a few years ago, the school also made a decision to seek accreditation with ACCS. What was the thinking behind that?
Well, we hadn't moved. We felt like we hadn't moved from what we believed. Those first 5 to 7 years with ACSI, they let us do what we do, which was, we taught our teachers how to teach, utilizing going to the conference and a lot of the classical Christian school information. And we used 7 laws and a number of different things. And, you know, that there wasn't any problem with us doing that, at least not one from an accreditation standpoint with them. And then when they switched, when Advanced Ed bought them out, and I didn't find that out for a year or two after it already happened, and we looked at what they were requiring, and then we went through the reaccreditation process the second time, and it was Advanced Ed. We knew we were at a crossroad. Administratively, we knew that first, but we didn't say a whole lot about it. We wanted to give it a chance, and so we went through the process, and then the debrief at the end, we knew that was probably the last time that if any of us were involved in the school that we would do a reaccreditation with them. We explained everything to our board and prayed about it. We were on the very front end of a recycle, so we knew we had 5 years. And so in that 5 years time, we, it wasn't 5 years, it probably was just the next year, we made the full firm decision with board approval and encouragement to go full scale classical in the way we trained our teachers, because we found we were trying to juggle the requirements that now were being put on us by ACSI, as well as trying to teach from the classical model. And they didn't recognize a lot of the materials that we were using. And when we went through the accreditation, and there wasn't a single Christian-oriented application question or anything else, even though it was all Christians that did the peer review, we knew that was a clear sign. And so we have just left ACSI. I mean, really, truly, legally, we haven't left ACSI yet, although we've written a letter that we're not going to renew. But we really did that 4 or 5 years ago, just to make our teachers more able to be proficient and better at teaching classically.
So is that, you mentioned your teachers, you mentioned teaching classically. What other hopes did you have when you started the accreditation with ACCS? How did you hope that would benefit the school?
Just to affirm even to our teachers that they are indeed teaching the way that other ACCS schools do. You know, that probably was, interestingly, one of the biggest questions was they, you know, so what do you mean by that? You know, when we talk about teaching classically, to the point that we went and observed some other schools, and actually we're hosting a school a little later this month that's coming to see, and that's exactly where they are. They just want their staff to see, you know, what does it look like? Even if you've heard presentations and read about it and you believe in it, you know, how does that look? How do you make that happen? So I think to do that, to be more practically able to do Socratic, or to more practically able to involve all of the applications of teaching, you know, in a, the Paideia would be aligned with what the classical and the Christian model look like. And so we want them to have all the tools to do that, and they and them to know that, and then to be confident in how they do that, and then learn from each other too.
That is really a benefit, the collaboration that's facilitated between schools and between teachers to help one another in the work that so many of the things that we're doing are so common.
That's right.
The process for ACCS is pretty standard. There's an application that a school has to fill out to become recognized as a candidate. And then the school has a good amount of time to do their self-study, to show through documentation that they're complying with standards. And that is followed up or concluded with an on-site visit. You've been through other processes as a head of school. Were there any parts of that process that were different from what you'd experienced before?
Yeah, some of it was very different. There were many more. There was probably more attention paid to the non-classroom oriented parts of the school. There was a requirement, and this is one of the things that we most disagreed with, that we used their survey, and we could not add and we could not change any of the questions that were in the advanced ed survey. And I'll be honest, some of those questions were leading. I heard a really good talk one time at ACCS a number of years ago, and somebody was sharing about surveys, and they were telling the reasons they don't like them for the most part. And part of it was that it leads people to sin, because it just, it, you know, you're asking all the questions in anonymity without the person ever really going to the school and talking to them or giving them or asking them why they do certain things. And but there were not just that, there were just it was not spiritually oriented at all. So we were concerned about that. But yeah, counting the number of library books and the square footage of the area that you eat lunch in and other things that, and then not as much detail. And certainly we did not like the instrument that was used for observation of the teachers. It was something that we didn't agree with. So I thought the ACCS peer review was much more focused on the classroom, which is where the rubber meets the road. If you're actually doing the things that you say you do and you utilize the seven laws and you are utilizing, you know, all of the different applications of what it means to teach classically. And I think that focus is a good thing. And the, you know, pre-conference, the pre-visit, you can do a lot of the checklist work on the other things.
So it's been 5 or 6 months since you had the visit at the school. With this amount of time passing now, are you thankful that you sought ACCS accreditation?
Oh yeah, it's been a really good thing. I think it affirmed with a number of them. One of the things that our staff wanted was the affirmation that, you know, we are doing things well, and then what are the things that we could do better? And of course, we started going through the certification aspect of the process too, and the first step, first level of that. So we just jumped right into that. That's been beneficial too. But I think just the affirmation aspect of that, and I don't know how many families are really watch closely, carefully to see, you know, that you are accredited by the Classical Christian School organization, that by ACCS, but I do know they're with our board, it has reassured them as well, you know, that we are on track for what we say that we're doing as a school.
You mentioned that you have a school coming to visit your classrooms with their teachers. If a school was to ask you about advice relative to ACCS accreditation, how would you counsel them?
I would encourage them to do that. You know, it's already laid out. The certification process is becoming, you know, more rather than it being the burden of the school. I think there's flexibility, but I think the resources are, worthy of, having, you know, the access to do that would be worthwhile. And then also, I think affirmation with other schools that once you are accredited, then there is that accountability aspect that you have done those things that you are teaching classically. So I think not only in transfer, perhaps, of teachers and students, but then also just from a collaborative standpoint to be able to talk to other people and ask them advice about different things and, you know, whether it's fine arts or athletics or whatever, too, how you support that, how do you do those things, how'd you get the facilities that you have? How do you this? How do you that? That you still haven't, the tail's not wagging the dog. You still understand why you're the school that you are and that your vision and mission aren't being compromised in doing those things.
Is there anything that the school has to do for the purposes of athletic competition or scholarship qualification beyond ACCS accreditation in the state of Alabama?
There is not. In fact, one of the most encouraging visits I had was with David Goodwin. I think that was 5 years ago. And he and I were standing in line, and I just started talking to him, asking him those questions about ACCS when this was not long after we had seen that we were not going to stay where we were in accreditation. And he told me, you know, that what usually was the roadblock for schools. And that I needed to go back, and he just kind of went through the process. I won't go through the details now, but the process of finding out how the State Board of Education and the State Athletic Association work together, and were they separate entities or whatever? And so, and then what to do if they were, and how to follow that. And we did that. And so basically we found out that the High School Athletic Association had the authority to declare whether our school needed to be accredited with a advanced ed system, or if there could be other ones, other means of accreditation. And we found out there could be other means. And so I happened to know our executive director very well. And so I just started talking, and he started working on it. And there's another person that started following that lead a little bit. And within about 3 months, we found out that they would vote on it. And so our state executive director proposed to the High School Athletic Association that both ACSI and ACCS could be used as accrediting agencies that would give us membership, and they approved it. And that made it a pretty simple decision for us.
The vision statement for the school refers to equipping students, following Christ, changing the world. And there's a statement that says, by God's grace, we are striving to be a school that impacts the entire family and encourages each student to become all that God calls him to be. Can you think of something that, by the grace of God, you've seen at Providence that in fulfillment of that aspiration, that's a real encouragement to you?
Oh, yeah. Wow. So many. And I mean, you've seen the physical plant here, and that's the first thing people talk about when they come, is they often, especially they come for sports, they say that. But we've been so blessed with so many incredibly gifted teachers that it's my favorite part of this job, is to see, perhaps sometimes you know there's going to be a need and the way the Lord fulfills that. But then there's times that somebody will come and will share with us their calling to be considered here, and we don't even have a spot yet. And then just the way that works together for them, in just a few weeks, something happens, and they fill that role, and you realize how God has done that. So I would say it starts with them. Your school is only as good as your teachers. And their commitment, not just academically, which that's important, but also to see the heart that you're teaching, souls, eternal souls are looking at you every day, and that this is a heart and soul education. It's not simply an academic education, and our schools of education in general has gotten that all out of balance. And so I think just recognizing that and seeing over the years, we have a lot of people who've been here 20 plus years, and that's been the biggest blessing. And then I would say then also the families. There's a lot of families. You mentioned one while ago, and I'll say his name, Clay Howell, and the vision they have for the school. There's a lot of families who've had the vision. Our board is a very prayerful board that almost never, and I'm not saying never, because we've had our moments like anybody else because we're human, but for the most part, a very prayerful, Christ-honoring leadership. So I think if you name anything, it starts with those things, and we've just been blessed.
That's great. What are some things, as people think about Providence Christian School, what are a couple things that they could pray for the school?
Transition. I mentioned the preschool a while ago, and it started in 1973, and it had its own legacy that was not classical, but it was Christian. And the way people think, it has a great reputation in our community for academics and also for spiritual instruction. And I would say an atmosphere of Christian love and grace. and I experienced it as a parent. And but now the church has made the decision, I think it's the right one, that our board is over the school now, is over all of the educational ministries of the church, which includes the preschool. So I just would say that that transition would go well, and there's challenges in everything that you do, but that would be one that we merge together to work well and going forward for the next 50 years, counting them, and certainly 25 years the Providence has been here. And also, education is changing. People are different. I know you probably recognize that. The church is, the families in the churches are different. And I don't, we can say whatever reason we think things are, but I just think there's less commitment to the church. There's less commitment to the spiritual aspect of your family than there was. I don't know. I've had some good conversations with other heads of schools and ACCS, and I think they see the same thing in some of the, those other places. So how to get the message, I mean, even before this phone call this morning, when I was having a conversation, my principals and I meet, we meet every Monday morning. And so we were talking even today, and it seems like I'm trying to create strategies all the time. And most of it is about communicating who we are and our vision and mission are, and what we're trying to do, what we see the Lord calling us to do, and how this fits. So I continue on how to get that message to America that needs Jesus more than ever, and to an education that is vital for people to, all you have to do is watch one political debate and you realize people don't think like they used to think, and they're not visionaries, and there's not Christian charity and virtue in the people who are leaders. And so, these are the people that are going to be that in our community in the next whatever millennium. Just how to do that well.
Well, thank you. Those are things that, certainly appropriate to pray for and to trust God in. And I'm thankful for you and for your time today, Emery, and for the board and staff at Provident Christian School, and for the school's long-term association with the Association of Classical and Christian Schools. We're very grateful for that partnership.
We are as well, Tom. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your time today.
Thank you for listening to today's interview. To find the locations of ACCS-accredited schools, visit classicalchristian.org and click on the Schools link. Learn more about ACCS school accreditation at classicalchristian.org/accreditation.